Wow. It's been a Sunday of praises, amen?
Amen.
Wow. The last Sunday we spent some time, see how Paul was encouraged by Timothy's visit to the Thessalonians. Then we went on to discuss Paul's exhortation and his encouraging words about living even more holy and being sanctified. And through Paul's encouragement, he continued to tell them to build on that love that they have and to increase even more in both their love and holiness. This week we're going to see how Paul encourages the young church through a confusing time for them, as they had been concerned that those who already died in Christ would not be resurrected or a part of the rapture. Personally, I'm not overly fascinated with the discussions that go on about this, as what we refer to as end times. There's nothing we can do to stop it. Many Christian brethren have broken fellowship over events surrounding the rapture of the church. How long the tribulation is going to be, who the Antichrist is going to be, and when Jesus' second coming is. But what I want us to focus on is being ready for that day.
Amen.
Nothing else matters but being ready for that day. And we do that by seeking holiness, drawing closer to Jesus, and getting as many people into the kingdom of heaven as we can. What we do know for sure is that Jesus will rapture his church. There will be a tribulation. There will be a second coming. And he will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And there will be a final judgment. And Satan and his evil forces will be cast in the lake of fire for eternity.
Amen.
And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. This rapture and Jesus' second coming should give us all great hope. Paul continues to encourage this new church in having hope that they feared that those who had gone before them would not be resurrected. Let us turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13 in 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to be reading 13 through 18, starting in verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, yours may say ignorant, about those who are asleep. That means have gone to the other side. So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. There should be an amen there.
Amen.
For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
And so shall we always be with the Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen.
Whew.
I think I can just stop right there.
Yeah.
This passage is obviously very familiar to most Christians, and it is often read during funeral services. But it should bring great comfort to us who have lost friends or loved ones in Christ. It should also keep a fire burning for those unsaved loved ones that we've been praying for. There's, of course, a great debate on the timing of all of this. But the purpose of this sermon is about encouragement and knowing that it will happen. The Greek word harpazo literally means to seize, to claim for oneself, to snatch away. That word rapture was translated into Latin for rapto or raptus. So this is where we get the English word rapture. You'll hear atheists, they'll say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. They're correct. The English word, or the word was not rapture, it was harpazo in the Greek. The rapture of the church is a foundational doctrine of Christianity. Through our faith in Christ, we have hope of a future resurrection, where all the dead who are believers will be resurrected first to meet the Lord in the air and enter into his majestic presence with a new and glorified body. No more pain, no more vertigo, no more sadness, no more tears. Amen. Amen. You see, if Christ had not risen, if we did not have this hope of life and eternity in heaven, then our faith would be no different than all the other false religions we have. This hope, and this hope alone, sets us free and sets us apart. Paul's exhortation here continues with a reminder, not just for the Thessalonians, but for us. Because there's still confusion about the rapture to this day. He provides words of comfort. If we look in verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. So you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Of course we grieve when those loved ones have passed on. We miss them here. But we have comfort in knowing that they are in paradise. Amen. We have comfort in knowing that one day we will be joined with them again in the presence of the Lord. What was interesting is in this day and time in the Thessalonians church, many were earnestly looking for the Lord's return. They lived each day in full anticipation that he was coming. Many believed that they would be taken up in the rapture during their lifetime. Isn't this how we should be living today? We are most certainly closer to that day than they were. So many of us are searching for contentment and comfort and peace in this world that we've lost sight of that day. We have hope beyond this world. We have eternity with the Lord. You see, many of them were saddened because they thought their Christian loved ones would miss out on the rapture and the coming of the Lord. See, they had been getting mixed signals from people, and they had false prophets out there saying certain things because they thought that the rapture was just for whoever's here left on earth. They thought all those who had died. What hope would there be if we were only hoping for that one day? Well, I'm a Christian, hopefully he comes. No, we know that if we pass away, that rapture will happen. And that resurrection will happen. In verses 14 and 15, he provides them with words of confidence. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him with those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. He assures them with the confidence that they had in Christ. If they believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and they most certainly did, we have already studied on how much this church loved the Lord, then they should believe that those who have died would rise as well. They won't be left behind nor forsaken during the rapture. In fact, those who have gone before us will precede us in that resurrection. they have precedence over those of us here. Those who have died are not inferior to those who are living at his coming. And all those who are born again will be included. All who are born again, dead or alive, are included in the rapture of the church.
Praise God.
You don't need to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 says this. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are all men most to be pitied. In other words, if we're only hoping for Christ's help here in this world, we have missed the point. What a shame. The whole point of the gospel. Our Savior will return. Verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our Father who loved us and given his eternal comfort and good hope by grace. There's no doubt here. There's nothing but confidence in the coming of the Lord for his church. What a sight that will be. Can you imagine? I just can't imagine. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Him, not an angel. Him, not a prophet. Not Paul, not any apostle, not any of the saints and the heroes of faith. But Jesus Christ himself is coming with a shout. The one who bore our sins and died. The one who was buried and rose again will come on the clouds and call for his bride. Let's go to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, please. That's John 14. I love these three verses. That's John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in also me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I will have not told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's gone ahead, prepare a dwelling place for us. What's kind of cool is, in Jewish history, many of you will know this, a bridegroom would first finish a dwelling place to live at the father's house prior to the wedding. Follow me here. Upon the completion of that home, he will return for the bride. Take her home, and then the marriage ceremony would begin. And amen, our bridegroom will come for his bride one day. Hallelujah. When the Lord comes, it won't be a somber or quiet event. I can only imagine what a shout from the Lord would sound like. The trump of God will proclaim the victor's shout. In Old Testament times, there were four occasions as a trumpet was blown to proclaim a victory. And we have victory at Calvary. To call an assembly. It will be time for the saints to assemble. To announce a warning. When the church is raptured, judgment will soon come. To call the troops to battle. After the tribulation, the Lord will return and defeat Satan and his forces of evil. The rapture of those who are alive in Christ will be caught up together with those who preceded them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. How comforting is this? And how amazing. There will be a reunion. We will be caught up with the saints who have gone before us. And all of the loved ones we have wept over and who are saved in Christ, we will meet them in the air and forever be with the Lord. We'll no longer be separated from them. But the most important reunion will be when we are with our Savior, our Redeemer, for the first time. See, we've already met Him in salvation, but we haven't seen His face. We will see Him in all of His glory in eternity. I can only imagine. Have you ever thought about that? Yeah. Have you ever thought about when you meet the Lord? I'm hoping I get to sing, because I'm sure my voice is going to be a lot better. In His glorious presence for one eternal day. There's no days, there's no nights, eternity. Next Sunday, we're going to conclude our study of 1 Thessalonians. The Lord really laid this book on me. I honestly thought I'd only get one sermon out of it. He laughed. You know, it's funny, though, and all jokes aside, is some of these shortest books in the Bible, these shortest letters, have so much theology, so much packed into it, that we don't do it justice by skimming over it. Next week, we're going to discover what Paul wrote about the day of the Lord and Paul's encouraging words as he ends his first letter to the Thessalonians. The believers at Thessalonica may have had their doubts, but Paul offered words of comfort. I'm sure that when they read or considered these words, they found comfort and assurance. It's been a couple thousand years since Paul wrote those letters, inspired to pen these words, but they still bring comfort to us to this day. This life we have on earth is not all that we have as believers. Our hope does not end with the grave. Can you imagine having a life where you think that this is all there is? That when you die, that's it. Our Lord is coming again, and it may be much sooner than we think.
Amen.
As we close, I want to ask you, is all well with your soul? And do you know Christ is your personal Savior and Lord? All of the saved, but only the saved, will be included in the rapture. Have you made your preparation to go? If you are a believer in Jesus, are you ready? But church, are you living like He could come right now? He come right now. Are you living for Him? He comes right now. Are you dealing with the sin that you haven't dealt with? Deal with it. Come, Jesus, come. Amen. We're going to sing after I pray, or we pray, I'm sorry. We're going to sing, Come, Jesus, Come. And I want you to sing it and mean the words that we're singing. Let us bow our heads and pray. Lord, we just love You so very much. Lord, we just thank You for the hope we have that You're coming back for Your bride. Lord, we cannot wait for that day. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here, Lord, has been moved by these words, and they don't really have the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, that today will be that day that they commit their lives to you and recognize, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except for you. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifices that he made on Calvary and bore our sins for the whole world. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to have communion and recognize this. Lord, I pray that we all have a great week. Lord, I pray that these words continue to work in each and every one of us throughout this week, Lord. We love you so very much. Come, Jesus, come. Amen.